O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. I think about that, and I think, you know, we think of the many things that we can and should be thankful for, and just the thought of God creating everything. He says that in his hand are the deep places of the earth. And, you know, I can barely hold a grapefruit in my hand, and he can hold the deep places of the earth. I've tried my hand at pottery and sculpture and that sort of thing, and it's not very pretty. But yet, he had the ability to create everything and make it beautiful and make it perfect. And it's just, you know, how thankful we should be for that. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. He cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. And how thankful we are for that, because it didn't have to be that way. You know, and there are those who say, well, maybe the Lord created everything and then he just kind of let it run its course. But we all know that's not true. We all know that the Lord is aware of each and every soul, and he cares for each and every soul, and watches out for us and hears and answers our prayers. And what a wonderful thing, and what a wonderful thing to be thankful for. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You just want to, that's why we sing. You know? We sing to praise the Lord and to thank him for his creation and for his love and for his tender mercy. Psalm 136. Psalm 136, first three verses. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And it goes all the way through, talking about how his mercy never ends. His love for us, his concern for us, his willingness to forgive us. It was this morning, wasn't it, that Sean said that he forgave us while we were yet sinners. He forgave us before we were ever born. What a beautiful thing. That's mercy that we can't comprehend, but it's real. The last verse. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. And we do this. I know we do this. I'm not saying that we don't, or trying to admonish you, oh, don't forget to be thankful, because I know we are. Because we share our testimonies. We share the blessings that God has given us, and we're never of a mind to say, well, we're deserving of it, because we know we're not. But we know he blesses us, and we share that joy one with another. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's encouraging, and it helps us to continue, helps us to go on and face another day, knowing that the Lord is there and his mercy endureth forever. So what I want to talk about is, you know, how can we be thankful? And what are we thankful for? You know, it's kind of fun about this time of year. In Sunday school, you'll ask the little ones, you know, what are you, tell me what you're thankful for. And, well, I'm thankful for my puppy. Your guys are thankful for your puppies, aren't you? You like your little puppy, sure. Well, we're thankful for the things that we have because we know that without the love of God, we would have nothing. We would be in desolation. We're thankful for what we are and who we are. We're thankful for the very lives that we live, the fact that we even get to be alive and breathe and enjoy the beauty of God's creation. We're thankful for our talents and abilities. I'm thankful for the abilities that people have of music, of being able to write beautiful music and perform beautiful music, just as David was talking about, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm thankful for the talents, the God-given talents of the writers of our scriptures, that they were able to take God's word and put them in such a beautiful way and put those words together in a way that bring us joy and peace and encouragement. I'm thankful for those abilities. I'm thankful for the abilities that God gives his servants to break the bread of life, to take the gospel to people, and to encourage people to believe and to endure to the end. I'm thankful for the opportunities that we have to make a living, to provide for our families. I'm thankful for the opportunities that we have to share joy with other people, the opportunities that we have to share God's word and God's love with other people. But the best gifts are spiritual. The love and peace of God that, as the scripture says, passes our human understanding. The joy that we can feel when we know that we're walking with the Lord and we have his spirit to be with us. The healings that we receive because of faith. The inspiration that we have, the encouragement that we get from God when we're faced with a situation that seems to have no resolution. And we go to him and we say, Lord, I'm powerless. I cannot deal with this. And his solutions are so marvelous because they're, again, beyond our human understanding. He solves our problems in ways that we would never have thought of. And he's promised us eternal life. We should be more thankful for that than anything. That he has prepared the way from the beginning of time up until today. He has prepared the way for us that we can stand face to face with him unashamed in that final day. It's interesting to me in the Old Testament how thankfulness was expressed. I'd like to read in the 8th chapter of Genesis. One of the favorite Sunday school stories, the story of Noah. And what a beautiful story that is, that the faithfulness of one man and his family preserved all mankind so that we can be alive. And certainly Noah was thankful that his life was spared and the lives of his family. And so when finally the water receded and they were able to exit the ark and stand on dry land, what was the first thing Noah did? Verse 20 of chapter 8 of Genesis. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Noah offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I could have knelt down and said, "Thank you, Lord," and I'm sure he did. But he followed that with an offering, a sacrifice. He did something. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." The Lord accepted of Noah's sacrifice of thanksgiving. We read in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. Three feast times, special spiritual feast times of praise and thanksgiving and the remembrance of God's great goodness and mercy toward his people. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover, where they remember their deliverance out of Egypt and out of the bondage of Pharaoh. And they sacrifice, a sacrifice of thanksgiving and remembrance. The Feast of Weeks is the thanks for the first fruits of the harvest. And for me, it's always a beautiful day when I come in from the garden with the very first thing that I've managed to glean out of the garden. Say this, look. We got something. Something actually grew in our garden. And then the Feast of the Tabernacles is the final harvest of the year. Thanksgiving for the final harvest. When we had the piles and piles of all of those different things and Bonnie cans for weeks and that should be the Feast of Weeks, shouldn't it? Thanksgiving. But listen to the next line. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. We don't show up with empty hands. We say, "Thank you, Lord," but we do it with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so we see all through the Old Testament the reason for the law of sacrifices is that words were not good enough. It required action on the part of the people to show the Lord that they were truly thankful for what he did. And of course, we all understand that all of those sacrifices were to prepare the people for Christ's sacrifice. That in that sacrifice of Christ, We see the ultimate expression of thanksgiving, the ultimate expression of sacrifice, and that's the sacrifice of self. Rather than coming with a handful of things, we come with our heart in our hands and sacrifice our hearts. Third Nephi, chapter 4, verse 44. One of my favorite verses out of the Book of Mormon. Christ has appeared to the people here on this land. And he has offered that sacrifice. And he said, this is on page 628, verse 44. He said, "Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father and the Father in me. And in me hath the Father glorified his name." That perfect sacrifice was offered. God offered his Son. That to show us the pattern, the new pattern for thanksgiving, the new pattern of sacrifice. "I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled." How many scriptures we read prophesying the coming of Christ. All of the laws of sacrifices leading up to Christ's coming and his death and his resurrection. And he said, all of those words have been fulfilled in me. "And as many as have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I to as many as shall believe on my name. For behold, by Jesus Christ, redemption cometh. And in me is the law of Moses fulfilled." In Christ, we have the opportunity to be redeemed, that we can offer something to God, and in return, he will grant us salvation. We can show to him our thanksgiving for the plan that he has put into place from the beginning of time. Verse 48, "I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings." What, back in Noah's time, was a sweet savor unto God is no more. It was sweet at that time because it laid the groundwork. It set the plan. It prepared the people, and it was sweet in God's eyes because it was doing his will. It was what he wanted done at the time. "For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit." So our thanksgiving to God for his tender mercy towards us is nothing short of sacrificing our own lives in a spiritual way. sacrificing our own personal desires, sacrificing what we want to do, and instead replacing it with God's holy will. And that's how we show Him we're thankful. We can say we're thankful, and we should, and we do. But it has to be backed up with action. There has to be a real sacrifice with cost, a sacrifice of self. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. So in return, we get that blessed gift of the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. We had a conversation in Sunday school not very long ago regarding what heaven's going to be like. And what hell would be like. And I think because it's difficult to put in human terms something that's eternal, we only get glimpses from the scriptures. We know that the one is going to be glorious beyond our imagination, and that the other is going to be unbearable beyond our imagination. But there are some glimpses in the scripture of what heaven is going to be like. And one of those we find in the 7th chapter of Revelation. Beginning with verse 9. And in our own human way, it's easy to think about heaven as a reward, something that we get. And as little children look forward to December 25th and what's under the tree, we, in a more adult way, look forward to that final day of judgment and entering into God's eternal kingdom and thinking about what are we going to get? What's underneath the ribbons and wrapping paper? Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. It's not really about us. It's about eternal thanksgiving to God. An eternal sacrifice of self. and no more compelled to worship him and thank him, but being able to glory in thanking God eternally. These are just a few thoughts about thanksgiving and being thankful to God for all that he's given us. I'm thankful to him for you and for the love that we share and that bond of Christ that's unlike any friendship that's found in the world. But I'm thankful most of all for that promise of eternal life, that I can thank him eternally for all that he's given me. God bless you each, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving Day.
Thank you, Dan. Indeed, it is wise that we spend a great deal of time reflecting the past year and considering those things that we're thankful for. And while you're doing so, you might remember those that are on the prayer list, because there's so many that still stand in need. One of them that's not highlighted, but I think I will mention him just the same as our brother. Pardon me. The name escaped me just that quickly. Terry Affolder. It's terrible when you can't even remember your own brother-in-law's name, but that happens to me. He's in a rather depressed mind because of his physical situation, the diabetes that he's suffered for many years, although he's had the transplant and now his health is much better, has caused enough muscle damage and so forth that he'll never be able to do many of the things that he always dreamed of doing in retirement. He liked to do woodwork. He liked to do a lot of different things, and those things are not possible now. In addition to that, his parents are both very gravely ill, and it's an additional burden, and he hasn't the strength to be able to help them. And that weighs on his mind as well. So he needs our prayers in that respect. And of course, remember the Brown family and the loss of his mother, Andy Brown's mother. Let's turn to number 168 for our closing song. Might also remember Dan and his family as they head for Phoenix yet tonight. They've got a sleepless night ahead of them, I hope. 168. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful for this day, thankful for the opportunity that we've been reminded of those things that not only bring us peace, but how to thank you for all that you have given us, for your kind mercies and your tender compassion upon us, and for your willingness to work with us even when we are seemingly unusable. Pray that you'd bless those that are sick and those with great afflictions. Watch over and protect each one in our busy lives and the things that we'll be doing through the coming week, and bring us back together at the appropriate times. And I ask these favors in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm ready to start talking about that.